I'm Mike Duff. I am from representing the IHA. I'm also a member of the staff of Homepage News. And I'm here to introduce the seminar, North American Housewares Marketing Trends, Identifying Opportunities for Growth in Canada and Mexico. They have that in a big sign there. The opportunities are on a tremendous scale, given the interactions between the countries. Pam Wood, Executive Director and Industry Analyst, Canada Home for Circana, Canada, Mexico, and Renee Bandiola. Circana's Director and Industry Analyst for Home Industry in Mexico can tell us more about the opportunities and unique challenges involved in doing business on a regional basis. Each country has its own particular needs emerging from post-pandemic recovery and macroeconomic trends, and gaining greater understanding of them is important for successful engagement. As such, the session will focus on houseware trends in Canada and Mexico from 2023, lessons learned in the market, and growth opportunities for 2024. So if you please.
Thank you so much, Mike. Welcome and good morning. Early morning. Hope everybody has their coffee. As Mike mentioned, my name is Pam Wood, and I am from Circana. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the Circana name, you may be familiar with NPD and IRI. We merged over a year ago and are now known as Circana. So what we're here today to talk about is market opportunities in Canada and Mexico. A lot of the conference is really focused around the U.S., but there absolutely are opportunities outside of the U.S., and that's what we're going to focus on today. So what we will go through is, before we get into the actual data, I think it's really critical, particularly this year, to start looking at some macro trends, just to put it in perspective and understand what's going on in the Canadian and Mexican markets, and how does that compare to the U.S.? We will take a look at retail trends, what's been doing well, how is the industry performing, what are the hottest growth categories across the two categories. We'll look a little bit about how consumers are shopping in those two countries, and then finally around some of the how they're shopping, whether it be online, in-store, the price points they're paying, et cetera. So the reason I said it's quite important to start with macroeconomic trends and is this is a bit of an unusual time. Consumers are facing a financial storm right now in the sense that there's a lot going on from a consumer, from an economic standpoint. So when we just look at some big picture trends and what's going on across the countries, at first glance, the three countries are quite similar. Mexico growing nearly 3%, Canada growing at 1%, U.S. growing nearly 3%. The thing to note on the GDP performance across those three countries is GDP is slowing. It's decelerating, and we are anticipating slower growth in 2024 versus at least for Canada and the U.S. GDP. The other important thing to note is we will talk a little bit about housing, the housing market. Obviously, that's a critical market for this particular industry. We rely on people to upgrade houses, buy their first home. Those are key life stages, purchasing housewares items. Housing has led to increased household debt. So we've got escalating housing costs across the continent. And we've come off of a high during the pandemic where consumers were saving because they had nothing to spend on outside of the home. So we had record high savings through the pandemic, and those have been now depleted. And we are now seeing record high, unfortunately, debt, both in mortgage debt, housing debt, as well as credit card and line of credit debt as well. Inflation remains a challenge across all three countries. So it is consistent that Canada seeing inflation currently at about 3%. Just in this last now, and about a month ago, we're just below that 3% threshold in Canada. Mexico a little bit higher at 4%, and the U.S. at 3%. And housing is a significant factor. The cost of both owned and rental accommodation and interest increases are driving that inflationary cost, along with durables, food, and energy increasing across the continent, contributing to those higher inflation rates. Anything to add, Renee?
Yes, I want to add something about Mexico. Although we see a Mexico very similar in terms of GDP to the U.S., which has that's historically been true. I want to mention that for Mexico, there's a lot of opportunity. We will see across the presentation that we have many good factors playing in our favor, and that Mexico can become the next opportunity for your companies to grow. I want you to think of this fact. In Mexico, SDAs are bought at least one SDA per 22% of the population in Mexico per year by one SDA, okay, one small appliance. In the US, those same categories, just to be fair, those same categories are bought by 83% of the population. So in terms of demand, we have a lot to grow to. And you know what? We have the answer at the end through life stages that Mexico can become that closer to that 83%. To go from that 22 to that 83, there's a long way, but it's a clear path that we can grow in there.
One of the factors behind those very high inflation numbers is housing. So we have increased and record demand across the continent. Unfortunately, demand is outstripping supply. So we've got that really high demand leading to higher housing prices across the continent. In addition to that, consumers are faced with rising interest rates, which have led to increased monthly accommodation or housing costs. So when you put those two together, and the reality is mortgages are different across the continent, but in Canada, mortgages are renewed every 5 years. So think about, put yourself in the consumer's shoes right now. In 2019, prior to the pandemic, they might have been paying 3 to 4% in mortgage. That number has jumped by about 2% in terms of interest, and that's considerable when you look at the average home price in Canada is $700,000 to $800,000. If that entire value is mortgaged, those consumers are paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars more per month in interest alone. That is impacting their discretionary spend. At the end of the day, they have money for their mortgage payment and their groceries, and there's not much left at the end after that in order to buy durable goods. So all of the factors we've talked about, increased inflation, increased interest rates, et cetera, have led to very different consumer confidence across the three continents. So you will notice if you look the consumer confidence, we've got Mexico in purple, Canada in pink, and the US in orange. We all plummeted at the start of the pandemic. I mean, everybody thought the world was ending, right? So we went into our homes in March 2020, we saw consumer confidence plummet. We did start to rebound as the economy picked up, people went back to their jobs, things started improving. We saw consumer confidence increase in 2021. Then we see the differing results across the countries. In Canada, interest rates started to increase. In late 21 and early 22, consumers started to feel the pinch, and consumers were feeling nervous because they were inundated with media about the next couple of years. So we see consumer confidence plummet, but interesting, you'll note that in spite of the high inflation in housing, Mexico remains strong.
Yes, and this is interesting because in Mexico, you will see that the trend is positive. The consumers are highly, have high confidence in terms of what the future of the country is. And I want just to clarify that first peak down that you see, it's what I call the Trump effect, which is that date Trump was elected for the first time as president of the US. And as he had a very strong speech against immigration in Mexico, it had that effect. Even more negative than the pandemic. So this is a current risk that we can have in the middle of the year when elections for the US come. However, there's another factor that also elections in Mexico are going to happen. And it seems that the winner of that election will be the party that is currently here and will calm down the
consumer confidence.
The consumer confidence, exactly. So basically, we're looking at a Mexico that has high confidence. We're even in the levels as the U.S., and we expect to have it a positive trend still.
I will say for Canada, I believe we've hit rock bottom. We actually saw a little slight rebound in January. Interest rates are expected to improve in the second half of 2024. So I am expecting consumer confidence to improve in the latter part of the year.
And this is an interesting and very brief summary of what U.S. exports are. These are the top three countries exporting things to the U.S. And as you can see, Mexico has built little by little, starting in 1989. I think this is the starting point of the graphics. So Mexico has built strongly across the years a relationship exporting goods to the U.S. is right now number one. Then we have number two, Canada. It had like a negative trend, but we hope for the last 5 years we see a recovery.
We hope so too.
And specifically because of China. China in the last 10 years has been decreasing. We know there's a lot going on between China and the US, and that the US finds not the ideal to have everything coming from China. So the nearshoring will be a thing that will affect positively to Mexico, and definitely as a stronger country near you, we can always, first, we will be growing, we will have more employment, more income, and also for you, it's better in terms of costs and transportation.
But let's look at the data that we're here to talk about today. So looking at total general merchandise for a moment before we look at the housewares market. Just as a benchmark, if you look across all of the general merchandise businesses, or most of the businesses that Circana tracks, we see very similar results in Canada and the US, with sales down about 4%, and Canada 5% in the US. Keep in mind, we are finally back to consistency. For years, US and Canadian results in this industry were quite similar. The pandemic threw us for a loop. We were 6 to 8 months behind in terms of we could expect to see similar performance in about 6 months versus the US, and that's because our recovery timeline was different versus the US. So we did see some unique results in 22, 21, in the early part of 23, but we've now level set and our results are quite similar. To compare that to Mexico, the results of what you just saw on the previous slide are quite apparent.
Exactly. So general merchandise in general grew a 7% versus last year. It wasn't due to many factors. We will see that across all industries, we see like the same trend, except for beauty.
Yeah, so looking at some of the sample industries here that we have within our general merchandise world, the home market is on the left, including small appliances, housewares, and major appliances. And then we have some of our other businesses, things like electronics, video games, toys. So unfortunately, the majority of businesses on the left-hand side of this slide are being negatively impacted. So we see similar results in Canada and the US contributing to that minus 5% decline. Think about back a few years ago into the pandemic. These were the pandemic babies. These were the categories people were buying as soon as they went into lockdown. Products for your home, electronics to be able to work and school at home, toys and video games to keep your family occupied. So that pull forward impact from the pandemic is negatively impacting those businesses. We now see growth in general merchandise limited to really when we leave the home more often. We are investing in our appearance, for example. So we see growth in beauty, strong growth across all three countries. Things like apparel and footwear, we've seen a little bit of growth and rebound there as well as people get back to their normal lives once again. But the important thing to note here is growth is much more selective. Whereas 2 years ago, there would have been much stronger growth rates across the slide. It is slowing as consumers do get back to normal spending in their normal lives. So now just looking at the home industry, so looking at just small appliances and housewares, look at the growth on the left-hand side. So this is what I'm talking about the pandemic impact. We saw exceptionally strong growth that we've never seen before in the industry, of 23% in 2020. So although as an industry across North America, which has represented about $48 billion in sales across the three countries, although sales are down across the three countries 4% net-net, we're still significantly ahead of where we would have been in 2019. And in fact, across our general merchandise world, small appliances seeing some of the strongest growth versus 2019 on a unit basis. So, of course, that's on a total North American basis. How does that compare across the countries? And it's actually very similar, right, Renee, to the slide that we just showed. So Canada down 3% on a dollar basis, US down 5%, and Mexico even stronger growth than
exactly.
The general merch.
Fortunately for a home industry, it has been a great year for Mexico. We're growing at that double digit, 12%. And we will look at the different segments that make this. But basically, what we're trying to say is that consumer is making bigger investment in their home because they're providing from home two things, like specialty things to take out to outside, like how do I save by making things at home. So I invest in specialized things to take things outside instead of buying them outside. And then the other thing, it's saving basically space, like space saving big appliances and everything, or medium appliances are also a thing.
And we're going to talk about the trends in the individual segments in a lot more detail. This is at a high level. So when we talk about the home industry, by the way, we are looking at products to clean your home, products to keep them comfortable, like fans, air purifiers, heaters, air conditioners, for example, small kitchen appliances, obviously. We look at personal care, so for your personal grooming, hair care, keeping your clothing appearance with garment steamers, housewares, which are all types of gadgets, cookware, bakeware, portable beverage, taking a food storage, for example. We won't talk about major appliances today, but we are also looking at major appliances. So interestingly, when you look at across the two, US and Canada, it's not one segment in particular fueling those declines. It's consistent, unfortunately, across the board. In the US and Canada, we're seeing declines across the board. The one exception in Canada is still personal care. And that is related to the beauty growth that I mentioned earlier. So people are investing in skincare, hair care products, for example. They continue to invest in grooming products and products designed to aid your clothing as well. So garment steamers and irons continue to. So once again, what's the commonality there? We're investing in products to, when we leave our home, we're investing in those products to make our life a little bit easier as we've gotten back to normal life. So in Canada, across those industries, we're looking at about $8.2 billion in sales relative to the $54 billion in the U.S. And very different message here in Mexico.
Exactly, yes. For Mexico, everything is growing, fortunately. Now, those big drivers for increasing, it's the housing increase, which has made major appliances, both refrigerators and washing machines, to keep growing a lot. The second one in importance, like in value importance, would be home environment. We'll talk about it later, but weather changes are affecting Mexico and the way we equip our homes, and also kitchen electrics. Very impulsed by this specialty going out of home, and basically how to keep practical cooking at home.
So I don't want to paint the message that everything is doom and gloom in Canada and the US, because obviously there are growth opportunities with the right product and innovative products that meet consumer needs. There are still growth opportunities, and that's what we're going to spend a few minutes talking about. What are the categories that are growing across these countries and why? So when we look at kitchen appliances, so these are all the products you'd find on your countertop in the kitchen, electric appliances designed to aid in the preparation of meals. So as a whole, this segment is down, but the reality is we are cooking more meals at home. The majority, nearly half of consumers in Canada, are in a hybrid work situation. less than 10% have gone back to the office full time. Think about the implications to you being in your home more often. You are preparing more meals at home. And with the current economic situation where we are, we know when times get tough, consumers prepare more meals at home. As a savings measure, they're not going to Starbucks on the way to the office as often. They're not going out for lunch. They're bringing their lunch from home, for example. So we have more meal occasions in our home now than we would have in 2019. And that continues to fuel some of the growth that we see in the kitchen appliance space. So when we look at the commonality, first glance, there's not a huge commonality. The first growth driver is espresso, and I will tell you, I am absolutely astonished every year. We have seen exceptionally strong growth for coffee and espresso since the start of the pandemic. It has slowed somewhat. But when you look at the number of coffee appliances Canadians have purchased in the past 4 years, the number is outstanding. Canadians love their coffee, and on a per capita basis, we're higher than any other country in North America. At the start of the pandemic, we had to learn to become our own barista at home. We invested in our first-time coffee maker, perhaps, in 2020. Then we started buying peripheral accessory products to go with it. So we see strong growth in coffee grinders and in frothers and cold brewers, for example, to get that food service or the Starbucks experience in your kitchen. And it continues with espresso makers. And believe it or not, even though times are tough, the strongest growth in espresso makers is in full automatic, over $1,000 machines. So if you can prove ROI for a product, it shows the consumers will pay for it. Because if you're saving $6 a day from your Starbucks beverage, it will pay off in a short amount of time. We see specialty products. I laugh. I never thought, if you'd asked me 5 years ago what one of the growth drivers in kitchen would be, I never thought I'd be here talking about ice cream makers, honestly. But it's a force to be reckoned with. It shows how innovation and social media can really drive in a category trend. It's single-handedly, this is almost exclusively one product out there, I'm sure you know which one it is, showing new uses, new ways, new diets to accommodate, looking at keto, looking at high-protein diets, looking at cottage cheese ice cream. All of these things can be done. But it's also about celebrating and entertaining those moments of joy, having friends and family over and doing this together. So food preparation is definitely a trend, as is breakfast here, and we see actually a lot of commonality between across the continent, across U.S., Canada, and Mexico in terms of growth.
Yeah, so for Mexico, we are going to see similar trends, just as in traditional blending. Like for Mexicans, the traditional blending is still the most appliance used for every meal. Like salsa is a big thing. There's a lot of Mexicans that will not eat without salsa. So basically, traditional blending is still the most go-to appliance in the kitchen. The espresso maker, we're not at the levels in consumption as per Canada, but we're also looking at this high-end, especially the barista-type machines are very into the Mexican market right now. One thing that is different from Canada, at least here, is the countertop microwave ovens, which is part of this take outside my home. Like I heat and then I bring it to go, right? And the compact refrigerators, it's very similar to the major appliances that we were saying. The housing is so much in increase that some basic houses are or have a compact refrigerator as the first option, as a first refrigerator for the home.
Okay, let's shift gears now and look at houseware. So in housewares, portable beverageware. So think about taking your coffee. So you've already invested in this fantastic coffee machine. You're going to the office on one of the 2 days per week that perhaps you're in a hybrid mode. You're going to take that coffee with you to go. You're not going to rely on the fact that there's fresh coffee at the office. You're not going to perhaps stop as often at Starbucks or, if you're Canadian, Tim Hortons on your way to the office in order to get that. So portable beverage ware, so either taking hot beverages or cold. So water, people are concerned about their health and wellness, or taking water with them to go. There's social media has another been a huge driver on this one as well. And it's been a top growth driver in not just housewares, but in the total home industry for about 2 years now. So consumers are investing in another color, are buying another shape, are buying one with a straw, one without a straw. So it's quite strong. But this year, what we're noticing is traditional food storage is starting to follow suit. So people are taking leftovers with them to go. They're eating more meals at home and preparing, and therefore taking those leftovers with them and seeing traditional food storage grow. Also, meal prep has become quite the phenomenon, doing your meal prep on Sundays, which food storage is a critical aspect to that meal prep.
And as for Mexico, we don't measure that all amount of the other categories. But for us, we can see inside cookware, which is the housewares that we measure right now, that basically the pans are the ones growing the most. Let's remember that recently, in the last year, the pans of 20 centimeters or less, like the basic one, the individual ones, are the ones that are growing across mainly the whole year, except for the big pans, which are more than 25 centimeters, are the ones that are sold basically in November and December, like more when people have more money or more promotions available. And the pressure cookers, which is a very basic thing in Mexico for cooking, and also we're looking at a bigger capacities are the ones that are being with the most growth.
I think you mentioned pressure cookers to cook your beans is like a daily requirement.
Exactly. Like,
that was news. That was a surprise to me.
Exactly. Thank you very much for reminding me. Like, as well as salsa, beans are very common in Mexico, are basic for the diet. And the most common thing to do is in pressure cookers. So this is basically why it's so big.
Switching to home environments, so these are products to keep your home clean and comfortable. So include floor care as well as fans, air purifiers, heaters, for example. And once again, I keep coming back to the fact that we are all spending more time in our homes. We're working at home. We're living at home more than we would have a few years ago. So it's not a surprise that if we're living at home more, we need to clean more. So if we looked back to 2018, 2019, one of our growth drivers in the industry was robotic vacuums, because at that time people were busy and on the go to such a large extent. But we have seen a resurgence in strong growth in stick vacuums, because when you think about it, when you're working from home, you want a quick cleaning solution. So grabbing that perhaps first or second stick vacuum, even perhaps closer to your office, it has become a trend. We continue to see strong growth. Fortunately and unfortunately for the industry, air purifiers is one of our growth driver. Unfortunately, it's a growth driver this past year because of the wildfires, because climate change is real, and climate change has led to increased fires across Canada and the U.S., which drove record sales to the summer month, particularly in Western Canada, where we saw very strong growth in air purifiers. Bare floor cleaners and deep carpet cleaners are related. If you have tile or hardwood, you use a bare floor cleaner. If you have carpet, you use a deep carpet cleaner. And we've seen growth on these since the start of the pandemic, related to very high new pet adoption. New pet ownership has increased over the past 5 years. And anybody that owns a pet knows when you have a pet, you clean very often. So we are seeing consistent, very strong growth. There's also been some innovation in the steam products and bare floor cleaners driving that. Finally, water filtration. I really do think people are more conscious and aware of health and wellness now coming out of the pandemic, that keeping your body healthy and sustaining it with water. So we've seen growth with the devices and water filters and coolers, but also with the replacement filters that go along with it.
And for Mexico, there's a commonality in terms of the climate change. I saw a fact that in the past 15 years, Mexico City itself has become like 5 degrees hotter than it used to be. So in Mexico City, we're used to like the same temperature the whole year. A little bit fresher in winter, and a little bit hotter in summer. But now the heats are being more intense. So basically, room air conditioners and fans are used to equip the homes, because we didn't use any, like maybe a heater just in December, but now in April, May, we need something to cooler our homes. So this is a trend that is going to keep. And stick vacuums and workshop vacuums, basically the stick vacuums with the practicality, with the big wireless
cordless
stick vacuums, are very common right now. There are a couple of brands that are making really good entrance in here. And also the workshop vacuums, as Pam was saying, like the pet ownership is growing a lot, also in Mexico. So we need our to clean our homes for that.
And then the last segment we'll go into, I've already alluded to some of this, but in looking at personal care products. So these are products for yourself, your hair, men's shaving products, for example, but also for your clothes. So clothes irons and garment steamers feed here. So we are investing in our appearance. We see very strong growth in not just one type of hair product, for example, but multiple hot air stylers being driven by convenience, because we might not be leaving, going to the office 5 days a week, but we are still going to the office, and we want a quick and easy solution to be able to style our hair. Flat iron straighteners being driven a little bit by innovation and some premium brands. So it's not just our appearance, because we are pulling those clothes out of the back of our closet that we haven't used for 2 years. We're pulling those out and refreshing them. Garment steamers, if I had number six, if I had the top 10, garment steamers would be number six. So it's closely behind irons. And we can't forget about the men. So I keep talking about women, but manscaping is a thing as well. And we see strong growth, not just in men's shavers, but in men's trimming as well. Multi-purpose products, body grooming, for example, very strong growth there.
For Mexico, there's not that much about personal care except garment care, but definitely is making a comeback. We're recovering basically all of the volume that we had pre-pandemic. We're covering it right now. We have a recovered all. And then the garment steamers are a special good thing growing, especially the handheld steamers are very in right now in Mexico market.
And also in part due to the fact that we are traveling back at record levels. You know, revenge travel was a thing in 22 and 23, playing catch up still from the pandemic. So those travel size products becoming quite important as well. So just shifting gears, we've talked about all the segments and the growth opportunities. So clearly, many of those segments were driven by innovation with new features or attributes that consumers are seeking. But we also want to talk about how consumers are shopping, where they're shopping, and what price points. So one of the most common questions I get when I'm talking to manufacturers and retailers is about online shopping in Canada. So looking at the online importance across the three countries, Canada has become quite similar to the US. If I showed this chart from 5 years ago, it would be half that level. Prior to the pandemic, we maybe had 33%, a third of sales in across most of our segments were driven by online. One of our largest retailers in Canada didn't have a web platform. And so obviously that was kickstarted with the pandemic, and people have now gravitated to that. And in fact, development across all the segments that I just talked about are quite similar in that 50% range. The strongest segment with online sales is personal care products. And that's actually being driven not just by retailer websites, but manufactured direct to consumer. So D2C for some of those personal care products as well. The least developed for online, down about 45%, would be kitchen appliances and major appliances. For obvious reasons, it's significantly less. So we've come a long way but it has plateaued. So we're not seeing very strong quarter over quarter growth any longer. We've been consistently at about that 50% range for about 4 to 6 quarters now in that ballpark.
And for Mexico, as you can see, there's still a lot of opportunity to grow this channel. Basically, we have like the global retailers doing in .com, just as Amazon, for example, or Walmart.com. But there are some other local retailers that were traditional retailers, such as Liverpool or Palacio Hierro, that are making big steps here. So basically, we can keep going. We're only at 28%, and definitely there's a trend towards there. Even for MDA, MDA makes around 15 and 16% of the sales through online, even for MDA. So there's a lot of opportunity there to keep growing.
Obviously, there's demographic skews here. If we break this out by demographic, under 34 are the drivers of this. The older consumers still gravitate to more in-store experience. And when we survey Canadians in particular and ask them about, for example, through their holiday shopping, where were you doing your holiday shopping? Actually, surprisingly, the majority said they did most of their shopping in-store because of the experience, because they still like to get out, see those new products, be able to experience and search out that innovation themselves. So it's a convenience factor driving the 50%, but they still enjoy that in-store experience. So one of the reasons why the industry has seen stronger dollar growth or industry growth over the past few years is because of inflationary trends. I talked about inflation overall for consumers, but it's also happening in our industry. So if we look at just the average price increase year over year for the past 4 years, you'll notice that we are seeing slowing inflation in the industry. Why is this important? We were relying on that very strong growth back in 2020 to fuel some of that industry revenue growth that we're talking about. We saw unit growth, definitely, but we saw stronger dollar growth because of these higher price points. Now, obviously, this is, when we look at industry average price, it's a reflection of many things, category mix, brand mix, actual price point and promotion changes. But we are seeing a slowdown of those inflationary trends. So less and less ASP growth, far more selective in terms of where we're seeing ASP growth, and that's contributing to lower industry performance.
And as for Mexico, I just want to add that basically, if you remember, we were growing at 12%. So basically, out of that 12%, only 2% goes to average increase, like average price increase. And basically, the other 10% comes directly from increased demand.
So another common question I get from the industry right now is, oh my gosh, consumers are struggling. Does that mean everybody's just running towards opening price points? Are you seeing significant growth in opening price points? And albeit in some categories and in major appliances, you know, we are seeing a little bit of resurgence, but it's important to take away. So if looking at just kitchen appliances now, and what we've done is segment the sales into, was it a low price, less than $50, $50 to $150, or what we would call premium being over $150. So while we're seeing a little bit of growth, it's really those opening price points are getting back to pre-pandemic levels. It's just consumers had extra cash and extra dollars to spend in the past few years and perhaps invested in a slightly more premium product. They're reverting back to some of those trends that they would have had prior to the pandemic. But the really important takeaway here is we still see growth in premium price points. So in Canada, premium over $150 represents 11% of units, but on a revenue basis, that represents nearly 40% of industry dollars with products that are sold over $150. But what we are seeing a little bit is growth, more growth this year is in the middle price point. So are they still investing? Yes. They're not going to your basic starting product. They're perhaps choosing one in the middle at that $50 to $150 mark.
For Mexico, which is in the left, it's a bit different. Like, first of all, we're very dependent on the low part of the market. In terms of volume, we make 70% of the volume below 1,000 pesos, which is about $50. But then what we can see is that the high-end products account right now for 12% compared to 8% before pandemic. But that 12% is making 45% of sales, of total value sales. So basically half of the market is made through this 12% of volume. This volume, which is very high, like a lot higher than that 2,000 pesos that we're talking about, is made out of some products such as, I don't know, the Dyson, the stick vacuum, or maybe in kitchen appliances, we might be talking about the Breville 15,000 pesos coffee machine, like really high-end products. The Ninja with 6,000 pesos pricing. Like they're really premium products doing very well in Mexican market.
Okay, so we've talked about how they're shopping, consumers, and the price point they're paying, but let's just take a moment to talk about the consumers themselves. So the population dynamics, this is across total population in Canada, we see very different dynamics, Canada versus Mexico. Mexico has a much younger population with a much stronger percent, with 34% being Gen Z. It's a more balanced population mix in Canada. However, if I looked at the forecast out for the next 20 years, where will we see the strongest growth in Canada from a population standpoint? It's older consumer, 60 and above. Now, we are starting to alter those trends. Increased immigration in Canada has actually fueled growth in the 30 to 45-year-old bucket. So we are seeing a bit of resurgence there. Why is this important? Well, think about product marketing, design, innovation. We are talking about an aging consumer that will be downgrading, perhaps moving to a slightly smaller home, need smaller footprint appliances, and hey, want a new home, they need to upgrade those appliances at the same time. But you're also dealing with the consumer. How is your packaging assisting them? How is the communication of the benefits there? Perhaps they're not on social media as much as a younger consumer. How are you talking to that consumer? And how is it accessible and easy to use for an older consumer? So all things that need to be taken into account. Obviously, that younger 35 to 44-year-old consumer is still important overall, and they are the number one demographic. They are critical for this industry. We really rely on that 35 to 44-year-old consumer to buy their first home as a younger consumer, to upgrade to their next home when they have children. Life stages are critical in this industry, so watching the demographic trends is also quite important.
And for Mexico, definitely it's different. We see that between millennials and Gen Zs, it's 55% of the population. Actually, Gen Zs right now have between 12 and 27 years. And fortunately or unfortunately, as you want to see it, in Mexico, there is not a culture in which you leave home when you go to college, but you wait until you work to go out and buy your first, or rent your first home and buy your first fridge or microwave. So we're basically saying that 34% of the population will now be going out for the first time to live alone and in the following years. So there's a lot to do here. There's a lot of growth coming, and we want some part of that cake to keep growing our companies, right?
So thanks to my friend Joe over here, who many of you I'm sure have seen present, we talked a lot in the pandemic about new behaviors. Consumers learned new behaviors. New things became important to them. Some of them stuck around, and some of them have not. I mean, are we cleaning our counters quite as frequently? Maybe, but perhaps a lot of people have reverted back to pre-pandemic behavior. There are some things that have definitely resonated and stuck, one of which is coffee at home. We have learned how much we appreciate making our own beverages to our own taste profile and being able to customize those coffee experiences at home. That stuck around and continues to drive sales in that segment. I mentioned earlier, pet ownership reached record highs. I mean, through the pandemic, people were adopting pets. It was difficult to actually be able to adopt a pet. That has led to an increased reliance on more cleaning products and cleaning your home. And that's got staying power. That's going to be around for quite some time. The home entertaining and looking for those moments of joy at home with your friends and family, that's something that resonated. I think people enjoyed it, but also from an economic standpoint right now, it's a whole lot less expensive to entertain your friends and family at home than it is to go out to a restaurant that has unfortunately had to put their menu prices up because of increased cost of goods. So it's a much more cost-effective but enjoyable manner, and that has also got some longevity. And also, I say carbs and convenience. I mean, the air fryer trend was a phenomenon through the past few years. It has slowed a little, in part because it showed new ways to make your side dishes, new quick ways, like convenience is critical for consumers, and it capitalized on that trend. But it gave recipe ideas, gave new ways to cook vegetables. Who would have thought throwing broccoli in your air fryer would get your kids to eat it? So it's shown new ways for consumers to consume to eat their foods, and that resonated with consumers as well. But also comfort food was a thing during the pandemic. It's dropped back a little bit as people have gotten back on their diets, but we're not giving up our potatoes yet. So in addition to those, I mean, obviously those are still resonant, they're still important for consumers, but what is new for 2024 that we've added to our list that consumers are more aware of now? One of them is space saving, because I mentioned earlier, housing is at an all-time high in terms of demand. Consumers are faced with perhaps looking at a smaller footprint home, looking at smaller, or we have an aging consumer and may have more multi-generational families. As Renee mentioned, in Mexico, kids stay home longer. So perhaps you have two kitchens. You've got the main kitchen upstairs. You've got a smaller kitchen downstairs for the kids. So the opportunity for space saving as a younger demographic, the 18 to 25-year-olds, what are they looking at their future? Unbelievably expensive houses, so maybe that they are looking at a small studio condo, a small one-bedroom, something smaller footprint. So space saving will be important over the next few years.
I would add to this an important part to Mexico because of the demographics, because young people are looking to make specialty stuff at home, as seen on Instagram. So I would add, instead of convenience and carbs, I would add that there, what social media is telling them to buy and to prepare. Like professional preparation made at home, it's what's gonna be very into these young people that will go out and buy these first things.
Yes, and smart is becoming more relevant only because it's allowing consumers to get food on the table faster. So it's not necessarily a reason in and of itself, but it's enabling that meal preparation, so that when you get asked what's for dinner tonight, the wonderful question, you have some solutions. So just to wrap up, because we are running short on time right now, so we've focused on some positives. So there's obviously some concerns in the industry right now. But let's focus on, looking at the headwinds for a moment, changing, there is definitely a delay in homeownership. So these unbelievably high housing costs has impacted the younger consumer. They may have to delay the first-time purchase of their first home until slightly later. Impact for the industry is clear. Not buying their first home means not equipping that kitchen and the home with industry's products. The economy record, high interest rates are going to continue to impact consumers. Consumers' discretionary spending has definitely been impacted. At the end of the day, there's just not enough dollars. The pull forward impact is still real. Those products that they purchased through the pandemic, the shelf life is still good. However, when we think about it, believe it or not, I mean, I can't believe it's actually been 4 years since the start of the pandemic. If we think about a replenishment cycle in that 5 to 7 year range, there's a huge potential coming up for that replenishment window. And then the lack of innovation, anybody that sat through Joe's presentation yesterday knows that we've seen less innovation over the past 2 years in an industry, as everybody pulled back and focused on inventory, supply chain, just getting products out there to retail. It's really time now. Now is the time to really invest hard in that innovation. Consumers are seeking it out. And from the positives.
Okay, so basically the home ownership, as it is a headwind, it's also a tailwind because especially in Mexico, a lot of people will go out and try and have their first home either rented or bought. And also it comes with home improvements. So maybe we're looking into smaller renovation projects, but more often, right? And still the eating at home or eating from home, things that I take from home will be definitely something that will help the industry.
Well, so just to close out, I mean, macroeconomic factors are gonna continue to play a role. The consumer is facing those challenges across all the countries. But innovation is the opportunity for growth in this industry. Consumers are definitely looking to be inspired by those new items and seeking them out. But even with innovation, the requirement for great execution remains constant. So great innovation, if nobody knows about it and it's not on shelf, is not going to succeed. So of course, with great execution means managing your price promotion and being at the right place at the right time. That being said, we only have a moment, but happy to take any questions. If you've got any questions, please, you can obviously talk to us after the fact, or I've got an email address for one of my colleagues, Jocelyn, so feel free to reach out with any questions. We'd be happy to help or have a conversation with you in more detail. Thank you very much for your time.
Sorry. And if there are any questions, we do have about 5 minutes. Because I'd like to ask questions. That's my job, my normal job. I was looking at smart home here, and I've looked at a lot. I was doing new product write-ups for the show. I have a lot of small appliances that have reasonable price points, but 16 functions.
Yeah.
And a lot of this seems to be going to, we're busier again. We're used to being at home and getting what we want, you know, espresso makers, you know, that kind of thing. Do you see this as a trend in Canada and Mexico where people want more automation, but not just automation just for the sake of it, for the time savings being easier, but to get a better outcome more automatically?
More consistency, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is one element. It's just the ease of use, recipe suggestions. Knowing how to use it properly is a challenge. Who has time to read an instruction manual anymore, honestly? So, having that consistent experience time in and time out is important. I think that's an important driver to that purchase. And particularly, I think a great example is in the coffee arena. I mean, there have been steps forward in terms of that automation. I mean, I said earlier, the top growth in espresso is fully automatic, so consumers don't need to think at all. They just need to push that button, and they know they will have exactly the same coffee as they had yesterday, so it's driver. But the driver is not that it's smart. The driver is they want that same experience, and they want to be given easy solutions to get what they want faster.
Right, smart can be too much automation that is outside of their normal habits. Is that true in Mexico? Are people looking for more and better outcomes out of their appliances?
Yes, exactly. I think it's more and more important, and since it's a younger population growing up and getting into the market of the appliances, I think it's basic to have linked things to an app that even from my room I can turn on or turn off whatever I want to do and automate, and as Pam was saying, have the same result every time.
I mean, Canada has the strongest internet population or penetration, I believe, in the world. So a clear opportunity in the Canadian market.
Right. Anyone else? Well, in that case, let's thank our presenters. And let me thank all of you for coming. These There'll be audio and, in some cases, decks of all of the presentations in this theater online on the IEHA website within a couple of weeks. So if you want to revisit anything, please look it up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.